Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of the Infinite Snap Podcast, a Marvel Snap Podcast. Thanks for joining us if you're joining us live here on Twitch. Otherwise, if you're listening as a podcast, thanks so much for joining us. Justin, how are you doing?
Yeah, really good, thanks. How are you?
Good, I'm good. We've got my co-host here, Justin. I'm Richie. Usually we have Tom with us as well, but he's very busy at the moment. He's got a lot going on, so he won't be with us for this week. Possibly next week, he said he's going to try and make the podcast. But we've got our resident expert here now, Justin.
Yeah, I'm happy to fill in. Happy to be here.
Cool.
Getting a permanent spot.
Permanent spot. He's earning his permanent spot, guys. So on today's episode, we've got a big one today. We're going to be going through all the patch notes, a massive patch drop earlier in the week. Plenty of card balances and stuff to go through. We're going to take a look at the next season pass that's dropping in less than a week. So that will drop before the next episode. So we're going to take a look at that. Also, Justin and I have a crazy story about how we like ended up in a Marvel Snap test server or something of the sort, which we're going to explain to you soon.
Absolutely crazy.
We experienced some unreleased content, which is absolutely ridiculous. And of course, what would the Infinite Snap podcast be without playing everyone's favorite quiz show, Snap Who? So make sure you hang around for that at the end of the podcast. Guys, I've got some crazy hot takes on some of the balance changes. Justin hasn't heard any of these yet, so I'm very excited to give my hot takes. A lot of hot takes on today's episode.
I'm excited to hear them.
You're probably full going to roast me for them as well.
Yep.
Guys, thanks so much for all the positive feedback about the podcast. I had a bunch of people on Reddit saying like they're really enjoying the podcast and they're, you know, they can't wait for the game to go global, like full launch. There's people that are like listening to the podcast because the game hasn't even released yet for them. And so it was really cool to hear that from people. Really appreciate all the support, guys. Yeah, like Twitter, Reddit, it's been it's been overwhelmingly good response, which is really cool to hear, guys. What's the point of the podcast if it's not for the listeners?
That's right.
All right, guys, let's roll that intro and get straight into it. We've got so much to get through. All right, so Justin, we've got a huge patch that we're going to break down in a moment. We're going to go through everything. We'll skip over a few like less important things. We'll still tell you guys about those patch notes, but we're not going to discuss everything, or else this would be like a 5-hour episode. But we will definitely go through all the balance changes of cards. I think they're like some of the main important. That's like the meat of it. But we'll definitely go through all the other little changes that they've made. Justin, have you been able to play with a lot of the new cards, like the changes yet this week?
Yeah, I have. Yes and no. I mean, I haven't been playing as much as I usually do, but I have had a chance to play some of my usual decks with the balance changes.
Okay, cool. So I'm kind of similar. Like I haven't gone out of my way to like play new cards, but there were some cards that had some changes. And I guess I did test some new cards in decks that I have already played. I have some spicy cards that I can now add that like before weren't very good. So that's it's always exciting to be able to like play with, I guess, cards that were kind of not good and now are better. So that's pretty cool. So we will go through all those changes in a moment. But first up, I thought we'll start off with the with our test server story. So usually every week we go through the featured locations. This week is a bit different because I'm so confused as to what the actual featured locations this week were. And the reason for that is when the patch dropped, and let us know, like if this happened to you guys, you know, tweet at us, like just let us know, because I haven't really spoken to anyone that also had this happen. I saw a few people post screenshots and I'll show you guys a screenshot in a moment. But when the patch dropped, it said, make sure you update your game. And I didn't. I just kept playing and none of the card changes went into effect, but I could still play the game. Did you have the same experience, Justin?
Yeah, so I just unknowingly did this. I found out about this 5 minutes before the podcast when I was going through your notes and we have the raft and I thought, nah, I'm pretty sure the featured location was the Nexus.
The Nexus. So I'll bring that up and then we can talk about it. For anyone else that had this featured location, please tweet at us at ShadowDTV or at the Infinite Snap Pod at Justin. Just anyone. Justin, what's your Twitter handle?
JZZY36.
Like, just tweet at us because this is still like I'm still so confused and I literally couldn't get clarification. So I'll bring this up. So this is a screenshot of my game. You can see the Nexus there on the right. Justin, explain what the Nexus is.
Yes, sir. Your power at this location is granted to other locations as well. Absolutely crazy. I was having a field day with this location.
Same.
I was playing, at the time, I was playing a Mr. Negative deck. And because I hadn't updated the game, Mr. Negative was still 4-4.
Yeah.
Devil Dino was still 4-0. Yep. So I was still getting Devil Dino out with Lady Thor. And also, the biggest one, Iron Man. I was chucking Iron Man, like you are, actually.
Yeah, exactly what I did.
I hadn't even looked at that. I was chucking Devil Dino and Iron Man onto the Nexus and getting, like, crazy numbers like you are here. It was absolutely insane, and I was loving it.
Yeah, dude, I was just ranking up, and I'm like, this is so broken. This location's crazy. Like, what a crazy way to start a patch. And then when I posted this screenshot, a couple of people were like, what the heck is the Nexus? The current featured location is the Raft. And I went, what are you talking about? Then I went and realized that there was a update for the app in the App Store. I did the update. The Nexus is gone, disappeared. And not only that, when I was playing before the patch, I encountered like one other location that was unreleased. And Justin, you encountered two locations. So the one I encountered, I can't remember the name, and all of these have been data mined. So it's not like we didn't know that they exist, but none of us were able to play with these locations. I ended up seeing a location, and forgive me, I forgot the name of it. And I don't have a screenshot of it because I just went, oh, maybe this is also a new location. But the location essentially was the ability of Mr. Negative. So it flipped the power and cost of my cards and my opponent's cards, all the cards in our decks.
In hand.
Was it just in hand?
I think you're right.
I think you might be right.
I remember it was in hand because I remember playing Mr. Negative and I would still play Mr. Negative, but it was amazing because Iron Man would be in my hand. And this location would come up and he'd flip to a 0-5.
So like, I don't actually know, like, it's almost like we ended up in some sort of like test server. What was the third location, like unreleased location that you saw?
So again, the third one, I really don't remember what it was called. I feel like it was something to do with Duke. It was Duke something or something Duke, but
yeah, right.
It read something like, when a card is played here, return it to your hand.
So it's funny you say that because I actually saw screenshots of that location, like as a data mined location.
Yeah.
And then you just told me just before the podcast that you encountered it. So it's really like, it's just, I have no idea what happened. Was there any weird synergies with that location?
Yeah. Well, actually it depends because I think one of the ones that I was doing, and it came up quite often for me.
Yeah. Right.
And so if it hadn't come up on the first location or the second location, what I was doing is I'd play Angela on the third location, right? And this is in my discard deck. So it's like a discard deck with Swarm.
I see what you're getting at.
I play Angela on the third location. And if that location happened to come up and I would discard Swarm, Swarm would come to a 0 cost. Play 3 Swarms at Angela's location. She'd get the buffs. They'd all return to my hand, and I'd do it again the next turn. It was crazy.
That's ridiculous. So I actually have no idea what happened. As soon as I updated the app, everything changed. All the card updates went through, all the balance changes. The Nexus disappeared. All these locations disappeared. I still have no idea what actually happened, and I haven't seen any word as to, like, what actually happened, but all I know is that we played with a bunch of locations that don't actually exist in the game as it currently is. So it was a wild week.
Yeah, and I did all that unknowingly. Like I said, you just told me that that wasn't meant to be the case. So I must have just updated the game and forgotten about those locations, really.
So
didn't realize that they've vanished.
I played the Nexus as the featured location for, like, I reckon 2 full days. Then when someone told me that's not the featured location, and then it clicked. I'm like, I just assumed they released the patch notes, but the balance changes hadn't gone through. But then I started seeing stuff on Twitter and Reddit of the new cards. And I went, oh, why don't I have these updates yet? Updated the app. Everything changed. Still, hopefully we get maybe if we get word of what actually happened. I posted this on Twitter and some people were like, yeah, the Nexus is the featured location. And other people were like, what are you talking about? So I don't know what happened, but it was just very, very interesting. Yeah, absolutely no clue, but I just thought that was... So from what I was told, the featured locations for this week were meant to be The Raft and Crimson Cosmos. I saw today as the hot location.
Me too,
so that's like
definitely.
Your 24-hour location. I definitely... The Raft was like early in the week, but that was the one from last week, so I don't know if that was the intention for that to be featured. And then
we definitely covered that in the last in the last podcast.
For sure.
Yeah, and that didn't drag on for 2 weeks. So yeah, I don't know.
No,
don't
it definitely like we had it. It left, and then all of a sudden it came back when the patch dropped. I don't know if it was intentional. Maybe the Nexus was meant to be the featured location. Something went wrong. I got no idea. I haven't seen anything about it. So I guess we just ended up in some weird server with a bunch of stuff we weren't really meant to have access to yet. Who knows? Maybe that's
good while it lasted.
It was good. Yeah. It was so the Nexus was such a cool location. So we got like a sneak peek. Maybe that was meant to be like the global launch patch. I don't know.
That would probably make sense actually. Like, you know, they drop a few locations for global launch.
Anyway,
just a few new things coming out, but who knows?
Absolutely wild. So, beyond that, I think the Raft was a featured location. Someone told me Avengers Compound, but I don't remember that being a featured location. Like on my game, it wasn't. So I don't know what's going on. But usually we go through the featured locations. Crimson Cosmos is the only one I actually know everybody had. I mean, we've had that location for a long time, so there was nothing special with that one. You just can't play 1, 2, and 3 cost cards there, which didn't really affect me much. So weird week in Marvel Snap, to be honest. Other than that, what deck have you been playing this week?
Yeah, so since the last podcast, I was playing Mr. Negative deck. I did continue to play him a little bit, and I was kind of stuck around the 70 rank.
Yeah.
And then I just went back to the discard, man, and then I got up to, I don't know, I think almost 90 is where I'm at now.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah. What about yourself?
I've been just messing around with decks. Like, I'm still missing a lot of good pool 3 cards to build decks around. So I was playing Mr. Negative for a little bit. I was trying him out today just before the podcast with some of the balance changes. But I've started playing a move deck again. I tried move deck early on, and now that I've got some new cards that really help the move sort of like archetype, I started playing it again. It's actually quite fun. I actually enjoy it. Like Human Torch, I got Human Torch can actually get to like a really high power on its own.
Yeah.
I got Dagger, which is a pretty cool card. Some games, like pretty frequently I can get a Human Torch like to 30 plus power, which is kind of nuts for like one card.
It's very interesting. Like I had a move deck probably, you know, closer to the start of when I started playing as well. What I found is like it could get some pretty crazy numbers consistently, but all it takes is like one location. I know this is with any deck, but like the locations can easily affect a move deck. Like
you
get locations where like something as simple as, you know, a squirrel appears at every location and it just messes with the flow of the move deck, and you think, wow.
Yeah, for sure. I think I had the impression that there was like lots of locations that hurt the deck, but I found I can kind of play around a lot of them with like Cloak and like Heimdall can move stuff into those locations.
Yeah.
But there is still locations like obviously Fisk Tower is not great. But like for instance, there was one game I had where Fisk Tower was the third, like the right location. So it was fine because nothing was...
It doesn't really matter.
Nothing was moving into it generally. Like I didn't move any cards there. But yeah, of course, like the squirrels, there's other locations. There's definitely locations that are... hurt the deck, like make it almost like a like unwinnable matchup for sure. But then I think there's definitely other locations that do that to other decks, maybe not as badly as the move deck, but I think of like playing discard swarm. If there's like cards can't be played at this location, or a 1, 2, and 3 cost cards can't be played here, like your swarms can become kind of useless sometimes.
That's very true.
There's been games where I've like filled the like played a lot of cards at the first and second location, and then the right location is like Crimson Cosmos. And now I've got all these swarms in my hand. I'm like, man, snap, I can't lose. Then all of a sudden I can't play them anywhere. Like I can play one of them, but I'd rather just play a better card. So yeah, that, I guess it can happen to all decks, but yeah, move deck I think is really susceptible to bad locations. I think you are definitely right there. I'm not really playing it to like rank up or anything. I just actually think it's like a fun sort of mechanic. Like it,
yeah, because you hit infinite already this season.
Yeah, yeah. So I hit it like with that Nexus location. I was at like 95, and then I got like the last five easy because of that like broken Iron Man Onslaught Dino combo.
Maybe that's how I jumped like 20 rank as well. But so weird. I'm really trying to grind it out because I want that cool Hydra card back. I'm at like I'm at like 90 rank. So
I was gonna ask. You've got like 7 days left. Are you gonna push for it? You might as well.
It feels bad because last podcast I said that they should make getting to infinite harder.
Now you are like backflipping on that.
I don't know if I'm going to get there. I don't know. I will try. I will definitely try and grind it out. Yeah.
I think right now it's like it's friendly enough getting to infinite. Like it's friendly enough for casuals to like to hit infinite. Like when I say casuals, like you obviously have to play like a, you know, maybe an hour or two a day. You can't just, you know, play once a week. But I think it's like it's easy. It's not easy, but it's not like impossible. It's not like, you know, top 500 players hit infinite. It's fairly achievable, I think, if you play, you know, a couple of hours a day. Like I on a weekend I might play for like 3-4 hours and like go up like you know, maybe for like, I think you can aim to go up 5 ranks a day if you play for like 2-3 hours a day. I think that's like,
yeah, I find that I go through like these lulls where I don't know.
For sure.
I'll start playing a deck, and not just tilting for an hour or something, but like it'll be like, you know, 3 or 4 days or something where I won't gain any rank. I might drop like, you know, 1 or 2 rank.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, in like one night, I'll gain like, you know, 5 or 6 or 7 rank or something.
Yeah, and I think that it comes down to like it can be like just RNG. You could just have a bunch of bad games for a few days, and then a bunch of good games for a few days. I guess like mentality, like if you're like playing like late at night, you might be tired, or like sometimes you might, you know, you've had a, you know, you're like super alert, nothing's distracting you. I guess there's a myriad of reasons to why that happens, but I mean it happens with every game. You might get tilted. I get tilted and just start deranking. I gotta put my phone down. For sure.
It hasn't been bothering me too much, to be honest, with the rank. Like so, I've just been taking it easy, really.
Yeah, you know, I think that's a good way to go about it. I think now that they've made, but like last season when there wasn't like a card back to get, it was like, yeah, if I hit infinite, you know, that's cool. Now it's like, oh, I miss out on something if I don't hit infinite. Like you missed out on a, like, what'd you miss out on?
It was
like
a Daredevil avatar. Like, yeah.
It's like, whatever. The card back is like shiny and they see it every game and it's like in their face. So yeah, I think
it just looks cool.
Yeah, I think it's a very, very cool card back. Cool. All right. Well, let's go through the patch and all the changes that came with it. There's a fair bit to get through. So we're gonna try and keep the podcast at a manageable length, but we're going to probably discuss a few of these things. I'm going to have it all on screen. So if you're watching the podcast on YouTube or Spotify, you'll be able to see all this on screen, but we're going to go through it all. So don't stress. As predicted last week, we actually spoke about when is the next patch coming, and we said it had to come soon. Before global launch, it had to be within the next few weeks, and it literally came out the day after. Like, it came out hours before the podcast released, which was kind of really bad timing, but that's how it is sometimes. So we're going to go through all the patch notes now. So first up, we've got a bunch of general updates. Emotes, we got the emotes now, which are really cool. So you can, like emote, they had, like, the snap, the Thanos snap. They had, like, the Spider-Man pointing. What do you think of the emotes, Justin?
I haven't really used them properly. I keep forgetting about them, to be honest. Yeah. I don't really say much during the game or use any of the emotes, but I thought that they were pretty cool. Like, they're basically memes, which is awesome. Like, that's what you want.
I've been using them a ton because they're just funny. Yeah. I ended up in a lobby against a friend of ours, and we both just kept like spamming the Spider-Man point at each other.
Love that one.
Probably the best one. Yeah, so funny. I actually think they're really cool. One thought I had about them, and this is just coming from like Hearthstone, where they in Battlegrounds they have these like emotes, and you can like buy like a set of emotes and change them. Do you think they like Marvel Snap might look at like monetizing these, or maybe adding them to the season pass or something like that?
100%. 100%. I like I say every time I'm on the podcast, I just always refer back to Clash, and emotes was such a big thing. They had like a specific section, I'm sure they still would, a specific section in the shop that you can buy emotes with gems. In this case, it would be gold.
Yeah.
And you could, you know, win them from loot boxes or whatever. So I'm sure it'll be something similar down the track, because emotes is something that, especially if it's a, like a really good emote that people love spamming.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's just like basically a meme. Like everyone's going to want it. So,
yeah,
you know, I'd probably spend gold to get one as well if it's a good one.
I think putting it in the season pass would be cool, as like maybe fill some of those booster spots with like emotes maybe.
That'd be cool.
I reckon that would be really cool. But yeah, like it's cool to getting your opinion from Clash Royale. But I think although they're very different games, they're mobile games and they're short. So like matches are very quick. So I guess emotes are kind of like make sense where you play a game, you emote like as a reaction, because you can't, I guess, chat with the person.
So yeah, but not only are they similar games, but I think Clash is also a game, a mobile game that's been really popular since it came out for so long. And if Marvel Snap wants to do the same, then yeah, it may follow some of the same trends that Clash went down, and that's definitely a part of it.
Yeah, cool. So love the emotes. Think they're really cool. Hope they make more, even if we have to, you know, eventually, you know, maybe buy them if they're not crazy expensive. I definitely agree that I think putting them in the season pass would be the best idea, but we'll see what happens with that.
It would definitely feel better getting an emote than boosters. Anything feels better than boosters.
Even better than avatars. I would rather an emote over like an avatar in the season pass.
Yeah, I agree. You only use one avatar. Like, if you get an avatar that you like, you're only going to use the one. Whereas emotes, you can just spam 20 of them.
That's right, for sure. You can change them. Like, you know, each day you might like swap out like the pointing one. Or yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Cool. So matchmaking system will allow longer wait times for high ranked players to increase the likelihood of finding a more competitive opponent. I'm like in Infinite now, and I haven't really noticed a difference. Wait times have been similar. Probably haven't noticed maybe there's slightly more real players that I'm versing, but there's still a ton of bots. So I'm sure other people are having a good experience with that, but I haven't really noticed anything. You're at 90, so I don't know. Have you noticed anything?
I definitely haven't experienced any longer wait times. Okay. I just think probably my opinion on it is I'd be happy to wait, you know, maybe even up to 30 seconds to a minute.
Yes.
If it means I don't verse a bot, but I wouldn't be wanting to wait probably longer than that. Like sometimes you just want to, it's a quick game as well. Sometimes you just want to, you have 5 minutes, you just want to jump into a game. I wouldn't want to be waiting, you know, a few minutes for a game.
Yeah, for sure. And I think that's like, I don't think they're going to make you wait longer than like 30 seconds. Yeah, for sure. Like right now my load times are like 10 seconds, and that's what,
that's right.
It's like I'd be happy to wait 30 seconds for a real player for sure.
Yeah. And I think that's the case. It's a good change.
Yeah. And I think with global launch, we'll probably find that gets better anyway, so I think that's not a big issue in my mind. I think it will resolve itself in the coming months. The next general update: weekly mission requirements have been reduced from 5, 10, 20, 30, 35. So 35 daily missions was to complete the week. Now it's 5, 10, 15, 20, 25. So you only have to complete 25 daily missions to complete your weekly challenges. I think this is a good change. It really helps casual players. They don't have to feel like, because I think we calculated it last week, you can get a maximum of 42 daily missions a week without like spending gold.
Refilling.
Yeah, yep. Without refilling. So 35 meant you could really only miss like a day's worth of challenges. And obviously, if you've played the game, you probably noticed once you get 6 challenges, you can't get any more. So you could essentially, it can end up impossible to actually get to 35 if you don't play the game like every day. So I think this is great for casual players. What's your thoughts on the change?
Yeah, I think it's a good change. I was getting, you know, filling the weekly tasks at 35 as well, but I think it's a good change. Yeah, like you said, it invites casual players to take part more in the challenges and be more interested and invested in the game instead of, you know, having a task of completing the weekly challenges that they're never going to get to if you're a casual player. Now it's like, you know, I might play that little bit more because I'm closer to doing it. So
yeah, for sure. And I think like, I guess you and I probably play the game more than a lot of people would, like not a crazy amount, but I feel like a lot of people, these sort of games, they're happy to play it. You know, they might have fairly busy lives, and when they have a bit of spare time, you know, maybe once every 2 days they'll play. So I think now it allows those players to actually be able to complete the weekly missions. And the fact that it ends up being a requirement of your season pass challenges making it hard to do can make you feel like you have to play the game to complete it.
I always liked that though, because it was like the one challenge where I knew that I would complete it, but it's not something that you can just spam playing the game in like an hour and finish.
Yeah, that's fair. I think like for people like you and me that play the game every day, it's fine. 35 was completely doable. I don't think there's ever been a week that I haven't completed it, but I can completely understand if you play multiple games, like right now it's the main game that I play. If I played maybe Hearthstone as well, that's another season pass I have to complete.
It's a good change.
I think it just allows casual players and even competitive players that don't have a ton of free time to just complete that each week, which is really cool. So game result screen has been visually upgraded. Haven't really noticed that. Oh, sorry. No, yes, of course.
It's a cool change. It looks way smoother and better than it did before, I reckon.
I think it's a bit cleaner for sure. Yep. So nothing much to talk about there. The card art variant names are now visible in the shop and on your card details screen. I think it's really cool. You can kind of just see what family of variants the cards are from. It's actually pretty cool because it's probably a simple thing for them to implement. It's just cool if you want to make a variant themed deck. Now it's a lot easier to differentiate the variant themes. I don't think anyone's going to complain.
It's not a big change. It's nothing crazy, but it just feels good seeing that there. I'm like, oh, what's this? Oh yeah, it's that kind of variant.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, for sure. I think that's a good addition. It's just improving like quality of life sort of thing. Like it's not like making the game, I guess, you know, it's not making gameplay better or anything, but it's just a nice thing for, you know, it's a collectible card game. You're collecting cards, you're collecting variants. You kind of want to know what you're collecting, I guess.
Yeah, it would be cool also, I think, if they maybe stated the artist or something on it.
Yeah,
so that you could see, maybe you and Tom went through it one time.
Yeah, we've mentioned this before.
Yeah, you can see the same artist or like, you know, if you like a cool art, then you see which other art they made or whatever.
Yeah, for sure. And we've said for card games in real life, like pretty much all card art has the artist's name somewhere on the card generally. It's just a nice addition, you know. It's kind of just like if you've got a photographer at an event and they take a photo, you know, you usually expect to get credit for that image generally. But like, of course, I understand they're paying for the artwork and stuff. You know, it's not like they're just getting free art or anything. Of course, they're getting, you know, the artists are getting compensated. I think it's just like a nice little addition. Maybe it'll happen in the future. We'll see. So another general change, they've doubled the max number of decks now. So you could have 10 max decks, 10 decks in Marvel Snap. You can now have 20. This wasn't a huge issue for me because I think I kind of delete decks when I'm done with them. But maybe now that this has happened, I might probably just not delete decks now and just let them sit there for a bit longer. What's your thoughts on this?
This feels so good for me. Like, not that I use a crazy amount of decks, but I just like having the deck there just in case. Like,
yeah,
I don't know. I had 10 decks. Even now, like, I have 10 decks.
Okay, cool.
Didn't need to go to 20, but it just feels better, I guess.
Yeah, I can't imagine anyone complaining about, like, being able to have more variety of decks ready to play. I think it's good for, like, especially for people that, like, content creators, people that stream the game. I mean, they can have a bunch of decks ready for their stream rather than having to, like, make stuff on the fly, I guess, which is kind of,
definitely,
I think, is good for those sort of people as well. And of course, the theory crafters, the people that want to, like, test out the craziest decks, for them not having to just keep deleting and, you know, like, screenshotting things to remember. I think it's just a simple change, but a good one as well.
Yeah. Even when sometimes when I watch your videos and I see you've created a new deck, I just chuck it into the phone. So now I've got some space to do that, which is cool.
Yeah, that's cool. That's cool. So optimizations, haptics are now supported on Android devices. I'm on iOS, so I didn't actually know Android devices didn't have this. But I had people like, oh, what the heck? My phone's like doing crazy because it like does a crazy vibe, like haptic feedback. It does like a crazy vibration when Nova goes off. It does like this studded thing. So now the Android users can experience all that craziness, which is it's good they're just adding a feature to a device. Game resolution has been increased on low settings. I've just always had mine on high, so this doesn't really affect me, but I mean that's a good thing.
Me too.
Added a download all assets button in the settings, so players can now choose to download all game files at a time of their choice. Downloading ahead of time will improve match performance, a match game performance for players on devices with less RAM, slower processors, and or poor network connectivity. I did this, and it kind of just seemed to like hang. It kind of just didn't really look like it was downloading. I might just like let my phone sit for like half an hour and see if it does it. I haven't really had any issues, but I can of course understand like older devices would be slower if they're trying to download the resources and play at the same time. So I think this is just like a good quality of life thing. What's your thoughts?
I didn't even know that was a thing, to be honest. I'm just having a look at it.
Yeah, it's just
pressing like download all assets. Doesn't really seem like it's doing anything.
Yeah, it's just going to download all the card art, audio. So rather than having to load it like live, it'll just have it all like it loads it in the background when you play the game naturally. So you're going to get them eventually anyway.
Yeah,
it's just as like I think this is really just like a quality of life thing for I guess older devices or people who just you know want the best experience, want everything to be running you know at the best it can. I think maybe needs like a. Like a percentage, maybe, like it tells you when
yeah,
it's
agreed.
like 50%, 60%, 100% completed, because I don't actually know what's like how long it's going to take. But I mean, that's something they can fix pretty easily, but I think that's cool. Localization, their initial support for the Spanish language, that's cool. Localization's always good. More people that can play the game. So can switch between languages in the settings, text and voiceovers, that's really cool. There are some areas of the game that are not yet fully translated. I mean, they'll get to that eventually. I think it's more languages the better, in my opinion.
Always a good change.
Yeah. You just like the more people that can play a game or experience something, that's always a good thing. Art and visual effects are to make for a snappier experience when moving or ongoing effect updates are paused when moving multiple cards. Thank goodness this has been changed. When cards would move, if there was a location that just moved everything, and there was ongoing abilities and you had to sit there and wait for them all to update. It was just completely pointless because they were always going to change. So
yeah, that was like the Bifrost move.
Bifrost.
On turn four, move everything one location to the left and you just sat there for like a minute just watching everything move one by one.
It was absolutely awful. Like it'd take like, you know, 45 seconds for the animations to happen. Now all pauses, everything moves, and then all the ongoings update. I think it's a good change. It's just making the game quicker, really. So
yeah,
I don't think anyone's complaining there. The Colossus visual effects have been disabled for now because I haven't seen Colossus's artwork in like a month and a half because he's just a white glowing image. So I'm sure
they'll... can see what he looks like now. That's great.
I'm sure they'll sort out those effects eventually, but at least we're going to be able to see the artwork. Now, I don't know if you experienced any of these updated card visuals, but they've updated the visual effects for Agatha, Apocalypse, Ghost Rider, Goose, Kraven, and Warpath. I definitely have seen the Apocalypse animation. It's freaking awesome.
Yeah, I've seen Apocalypse. It's probably the only one that I've seen. It looks amazing. It basically like disintegrates and then like reforms on the screen. It looks great.
It's so cool. I don't think I've seen any of the others. Ghost Rider is kind of interesting. I've got Ghost Rider in some decks, so I need to check that out. I don't have Goose yet. Kraven, I've been playing a move deck. I don't think I've really noticed the Kraven animation. I'll have to look out for that next time I play. So that's cool. I mean, new visual effects are always cool. I guess maybe they're just like, it seems weird that they've just thrown them in, but I guess there's a team working on visual effects, so maybe they'll just add these in when they make them. I had a cool idea when I was reading this. I thought, like, if they have, like, I guess you could have special animations for cards,
ooh,
with the
that
variants.
Would be good.
So, like, if you have a specific variant, it has a specific animation. That would, I guess, add more value to variants.
That would be really cool. Or even, like, adding the animation to, like, an upgrade level, you know, adding an additional upgrade level and having it as the animation. That'd be cool.
And then you can put them in the season pass instead of boosters.
Yes, that's great. I love it.
Let's just fill it with like emotes and like card animations and then there's no boosters. Yay.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone would complain about that. Cool. So updated location visual effects for Adeline, Bifrost, Mindscape, The Raft. I didn't notice any of these. I don't even know if I've played on these locations. So
yeah, me neither.
I'll definitely be on the lookout for those as well. So can't really comment on those. A bunch of changes to card sounds. There's a big list here. We're not going to go through it. There's so many things there, cards and locations. I pretty much never use the audio unless I'm like making YouTube videos. So I don't really hear a lot of these most of the time. What about you?
I was gonna ask you that. Like, my volume is just off settings because I just never ever listen to it. I'm always doing something else.
That's
while
right.
I'm playing or listening to something else. So
Tom said he does play with the sound. So he actually, like, when we spoke about like audio and stuff, he was able to comment on a lot of it. So I definitely need to play more with audio because, I mean, there's people, I guess, putting a lot of effort into all this stuff and it's adding value to the game and I'm like not experiencing any of it. So I definitely think I'm going to start maybe doing that a bit more.
Yeah, me too. Maybe we'll see. usually I'm watching your videos while I'm playing Marvel Snap. I'm not going to give that up.
Good way to spend your time, I guess.
Yeah.
Cool. Now, this is the meat and potatoes of the balance updates. We're going to go through the card updates. I did make a visual guide for the card updates that I posted on Reddit and Twitter. So if you want to see, like, I think it's like just reading text can be a bit like it doesn't really like go straight into your brain what's changed. So I just made a guide of all the cards and what the old card was, what the new card is, what's changed, what was buffed, what was nerfed. So if you want to check that out, head to the Infinite Snap Podcast Twitter at Infinite Snap Pod, and you'll be able to see these balance updates in a visual guide. It's like...
That was amazing. That helped me so much. I read through all of the balance updates and I was like, yep, okay, yep, all right, this is cool, whatever. And it's going in one ear and out the other. I looked at your visual representation and I was like, oh, wow, that's what that change is. Oh, wow, that's what that's doing.
And I think that's why I made it, just because Hearthstone actually, when they do, when they have balance changes, when you start the game, they literally have an image of the card and they highlight what's changed. So if the power's gone down, they highlight it red. And so then you can actually figure out what's changed. So I guess I just wanted to give that to the Marvel Snap community. Tons of people on Reddit gave me some really good feedback about it. So it was like a simple thing. It didn't take me too long to make. And I guess it was just, I mean, helping out people actually understand these updates.
It's really cool.
It's good for like understanding like, this card's actually good now. Like I can visually see that this might be good. I'm going to add it to a deck rather than having to like filter through all these changes because there is a ton of them. Let's get straight into them. Arnim Zola no longer adds copies of a card if his target was not destroyed. So this was just, if there was like a location where cards couldn't be destroyed, if you had armor there, it would still copy the cards. So you would essentially end up with that card at every location, which was kind of broken. So this just now requires the card to actually be destroyed. So if you were to play Arnim Zola at a location, like an armor location, it would not actually work. So
I think that was the broken combos.
Yeah,
they'd play
for sure.
Something. They'd play armor early on, then on turn five, they'd play something OP, like, I don't know, an Iron Man or something, and then play an Arnim Zola there and Iron Man would copy to all locations if it played out. Yeah.
Yeah, if it played out that way. And it is. It's pretty insane. That text update is just making the card, I guess, function as they intended. I think that's fine. I think it's still still a pretty good card in certain decks. So I think that update is, good. Baron Mordo was a absolutely awful card. It's a 2-power, a 2-energy, 3-power card. On reveal now, your opponent draws a card, set its cost to 6. The old text was your opponent drew a card, and it would add 1 to the cost. Obviously, that was not good because they draw a 1-cost card and it becomes a 2-cost card. It's still very easy for them to play that. Now, if they draw maybe like a good 2 or 3-cost card that they would have played that turn, it now becomes a 6-cost. What's your thoughts on this update, Justin?
Basically went from an unplayable card that everyone just... He was a joke, basically. And now he's playable. I've seen him played... I unlocked Cerebro. I tried out one of your Cerebro decks and I actually put Baron Mordo in it because he's a 3-cost and is a disruption card. He works great. I love the change.
So here's my first hot take of the day.
Ooh, okay. Here we go.
This card was awful and it's now just less awful.
Really?
I think this card is still bad and I'll give you, like, I'm not just going to say this card's bad and leave it at that. The reason is, unlike something like Yondu, where it discards a card and you see what was discarded, I have no idea what card I've set to cost 6. So yes, it's interruption, but the problem is I don't actually know what I've interrupted. So if I play this, say you draw Onslaught and it sets it to 6. I don't actually know what you've drawn. So on turn six, when you're playing cards, I have no idea what I've affected. And if I was to make, say, Iron Man turn to a six cost and you really needed to play Iron Man turn five, you're just going to retreat now. I got one cube, but I don't think the card actually helps you win games.
Oh, I don't know, man. Like, I'm just going to absolutely rip into you here.
Go for it.
I'm looking at cards like Iceman and Scorpion. They are like massively played cards. Iceman increases the cost in your opponent's hand by one. You don't see what that card is. Iceman's great. Everyone uses it. Scorpion, you don't know what's in your opponent's hand, and it afflicts all of them with a negative one, and no one knows what's in your opponent's hand, but it's great. Everyone uses that card. So, they're great disruption cards.
So Scorpion is, I think Scorpion is different because I know that every card in your hand is going to get negative one. So it doesn't matter what's in your hand, all the cards are going to be affected. It's the same as I think that's just, it's like Okoye. Everything gets plus one. I don't actually know what cards I'm going to draw, but I know they're all going to be better. Scorpion makes all your cards worse. Iceman's a one cost, and most of the one cost cards are pretty bad anyway. So I think at a one cost, like Iceman is an okay card. Baron Mordo at 2/3, there are just so many better two power cards, two energy cards with three power with way better abilities than this. Like, I get the point that like you set a card to six costs, like that can be powerful. But the fact that I don't actually know what, like if I saw the card and it was set to six, then I would consider it powerful because I have knowledge of what's in your hand. Whereas I think of like Yondu. Yondu's a one cost card. If I discard that Iron Man, how is that not better than you just drawing the card? Like you could draw a card and set it to six and it's Onslaught and you don't care. Whereas Yondu, if I discard that Onslaught, that's just broken. So I don't know.
I see where you're coming from. It's like it's not something that you would chuck into any deck like you can with a Scorpion or an Iceman. It probably is like a bit of a, I don't know, maybe a specific deck or like a specific disruption deck or something that you would need to play him in. Or like I said, the Cerebro deck, just because his power happens to be three.
I think that's a use case for sure. But I'm sticking to my guns, and who knows, maybe I'm like completely wrong, but I just find cards that like I'm helping you by drawing a card. Yes, I set the cost to six, but it could be like it could not matter. Like you could draw your six cost card and you're like, hey, thanks a lot. Or you could draw, like, maybe you draw your one cost card on, like, say I play this, like, turn four or three or four, and you draw your one cost card that you probably weren't going to play anyway. Like, I just think it's better than it was, for sure. It was an awful card before. I just think it's, like, a less awful card, but I still think it's terrible, and I probably will not play this card.
Yeah,
I don't think I'm going to play it.
I think it's average. I don't think it's terrible. Because, like, you know, in most decks, how many six cost cards do you have? Maybe two, three?
Maybe two, yeah. But again,
five cost cards. Like, you know, you have, say, I'd say half of your cards that are one, two, or three cost at least.
Yeah, for sure.
Making one of those to a six cost, it's significant, I reckon.
I think, like, I get what you're saying, but I think with the way the game is, like, if you make my combo piece cost six, I just retreat and, like, just go, yeah, cool, that one dude who played Baron Mordo. I just think it's not going to win me games on turn six. It's not leading to me winning the game. It's just like, oh, my opponent, they got bad RNG with it, like, they retreat. Yondu just seems like a way better version of this. We'll just leave it at that. You think it's average? I think it's absolutely awful. Time will tell. But to be honest, I have been seeing a lot of people say that it's like kind of good now. I completely disagree with them, but we'll have that argument. I can have that argument with those people another time. Jessica Jones is now a four energy, four power. And her on reveal now is if you don't play a card here next turn, it gets plus four power. Jessica Jones used to be five cost, and it used to be eight power. And then it would be plus two, so it would go to 10 if you didn't play a card there next turn. I think this is a really good change. Obviously, you're getting less power overall, but the fact that you can play her a turn earlier means... So before you played her on turn five, your opponent pretty much knew turn six, you probably weren't going to play any cards there. So it just gave away a lot of information. Whereas now if you play it on turn four, turn 5, you don't play anything there. If you start losing that location, you can play something there turn 6, and it doesn't actually, like you don't just, like, forfeit that location on turn 5. What's your thoughts on the change?
Yeah, I think 100% just what you said. If you're playing Jessica Jones there on turn 5, then your opponent's just thinking or assuming that you're not going to play anything there next turn, and if they can beat you at that location, then they will. And if you're forced to play something there because they might beat you, then you're losing that 2 power. So having that, yeah, having it 4 power is a really good change for Jessica Jones.
Yeah, for sure. I think and even just a 4/8 is better than a 5/10.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. I think that's just a great buff. I think it makes her a lot more playable. I'll have to test her out in some decks. So I think that was a good change. Not too much to say about that one. Next up is Lady Sif. Oh, shed a tear for Lady Sif.
I know. Sad reacts only.
sad reacts. So it's a 2 power card. So it was a 2 power, 2 energy, 4 power, which is now a 3 energy, 4 power. The effect is still the same. It discards the highest cost card. I can understand the change because Lady Sif would just discard Apocalypse. If you could get it to happen multiple times with Wong or Kamataj, it was pretty broken. But making it a 3 power card just feels bad, especially in discard, because all of our discard cards now, apart from Blade and Colleen, are now 3 power or more. So,
3 or 4 power, yeah. So, you've got Mood Knight, you've got Gambit, now you've got Lady Sif.
There's too many to fill that spot.
Yeah, it's not great.
So I think they definitely, this was probably the one nerf that I didn't see coming, to be honest.
Yeah, agreed.
Yeah, I don't think anyone was sitting here going Lady Sif is the most broken card in the game by any means. No. So definitely an interesting one. I guess I can see other combos in other decks. You were able to do it very early on in a Hela deck. So it did have a lot of pretty strong synergies, I guess, in not just discard. So I guess I can see why they did it. But yeah, kind of sad about that one.
Yeah, it kind of sucks. I was just going to say, did you want to show your visual changes, or are we going through this list?
We'll just go through this list.
All right, cool.
I'm just thinking, just because it's got all the developer comments there as well. If anyone wants to see the visual guide, it's on the Infinite Snap official Twitter, so you can go and check that out. The if you look in the comment, the info section of the episode, the Twitter's there anyway. Cool. So. Mr. Negative is the next one. The ability of Mr. Negative stayed the same, which was a surprise because we discussed this last week.
We spoke about this last week. I think what we kind of said happened.
This is the change that you suggested, and that's exactly what happened. So good job on that one.
Good job, but I'm sad to see it happen. I mean, I said a 4-2. I didn't think he was going to go all the way down to a 4-1. That kind of sucks.
So he was a 4 energy, 4 power card. He's now a 4 energy, 1 power card. So he loses 3 power. I think this is fine because Mr. Negative deck wasn't really about Mr. Negative. It was more about the ability and then the cards you get off that ability. Obviously, him being 4 power makes him better with Iron Man and other and things like that. But I think it's fine for now. We'll see if Mr. Negative is still super broken. But for now, I think we just have to wait and see.
Yeah, I've continued to play Mr. Negative deck after the changes, and it doesn't make much of a difference because if in the games that the deck works as a Mr. Negative deck, you're right. You're winning because of his ability, not because the 3 power is not going to really change anything.
Yeah, there might be a game here and there that you lost because of that 3 power, but I feel like that's not what Mr. Negative was being used for. Like you said,
yeah, agreed.
He was just his ability. He could be a 4-0, and he still does a really broken thing. So yeah, I don't think that changes too much. I think that we'll see. Time will tell if that's still broken. I still think Mr. Negative is going to end up broken with new cards that come out. We'll see. I think the problem with him is that his ability is so powerful. It just makes when they make new cards, it's just they have to be wary of, does this break Mr. Negative?
Definitely, because he's a build around card.
For sure.
You're right. Any new cards that come out, they have to say, wow, how would this card go in a Mr. Negative deck? He has his own
deck.
That's
right. And so, I'm jumping ahead here a little bit, but one of the changes was to the card Ronin, and Ronin in Mr. Negative now is really good because he is a 0 power card, but his ability got better. So now he becomes a 0 cost card with a really strong ability, which we'll go through in a moment. So we'll go through that soon. Professor X, the ability of Professor, nothing's changed with the power and energy, but the ability, they've just reworded it. It now says ongoing, lock down this location, and then in brackets, cards can't be added, removed, etc. The reason for this change was the text used to say can't be added, removed, or destroyed. So the problem with that, the issue with that was things like Hobgoblin and Green Goblin could still, so if on the same turn Professor X was played, they would still change sides. So if you had Daredevil and you saw them playing Professor X on turn 5, you drop a Hobgoblin there and you basically make them lose the location.
Yeah, so, this is exactly what I used to do in my Magneto deck a while ago.
Yeah, that's right.
In a podcast a while ago, just used to chuck Daredevil down and I had Green Goblin and Hobgoblin. So as soon as I saw a Professor X come through and I could win that location by putting either of those cards down, I would. And he would lock down the location and then my Hobgoblin would just go to the other side and win me the location. Now that's not going to happen. I'm just going
to
lose.
That's exactly right. And I think they had to do this because like the ability is nothing can be added, nothing can be moved, nothing can be changed. The only issue was things could move to the opposite side. So yeah. I think this is like how Professor X is intended to work, and it makes it a much better card. So definitely a buff. And you can't do your broken Daredevil Hobgoblin plays anymore.
Yeah, feels bad, but it's if that's how they intended the card to work, then that's definitely the change that they should make.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, so yeah. Spider-Man, I don't actually have this card, but
neither.
I've had it used against me, and like depending on the deck you're playing, it can pretty much just win a location sometimes. But I can see like a 4-cost card with just 2 power being pretty weak. So they've just changed Spider-Man to a 4 energy 3 power card. I think that's fine. Just adding 1 power. The ability is still the same. He's still your opponent can't play cards at that location next turn. So just a bit of power to help him out. I couldn't imagine any complaints there.
No, I don't have much to say on that one. Haven't unlocked him, but yeah, it's a good like he wasn't overplayed definitely. So I guess it's a good change. Yeah.
I think people can underestimate how much of a difference like 1 power can make to a card. Like it seems like not like that substantial, but I feel like we'll find as time goes on that these little like add 1 power here like can be pretty influential. So we'll find out. This is actually quite a big change. Thor has gone from a 4 energy 6 power to a 3 energy 4 power. So we're losing 2 power, but making it, being able to play Thor on turn 3 is pretty insane because it gives you an extra turn now to draw Mjolnir, which means you can get, like you're buffing Thor, but getting that earlier, like getting that on turn 4 or turn 5, like getting more opportunities to get it means you can do some pretty broken things with like Wong and Mystique. What else would help?
Wong, Mystique, Odin, whatever.
Odin. So like you could go like Mjolnir on turn, like Wong and Mjolnir in the same turn on turn 4. And then that also gives you like turn 5 to play something else and then turn 6 with Odin. So
yeah, I think it's such a good change.
For like, sure.
Thor, he has such a cool ability. But like you're saying, some of the 4-cost cards that you can use in decks have like just such better abilities than Thor, and changing him to a 3-cost card, I reckon it, like he's almost elite. Like you can put him in any on-reveal decks just with Odin or Wong, and he's like a great card now because like you said before, you couldn't play him with Wong or you couldn't play him with some other cards. He was just not as good as some of the other 4 or higher cost cards.
Yeah, for sure. Like you could still play Wong, but the thing is you're having to play Wong on turn 4. On turn 5, which just feels bad when you could be playing something else. Yeah. So I definitely think this is a really welcome change. I think it's really cool. You still have to actually draw it. So like nothing really changes there, but having another turn to draw it, I think is pretty powerful.
Like you just say you play Thor on turn 3. I think it even makes playing Lady Thor in your deck feel a bit better because like you were restricted to playing Thor, then playing Lady Sif, then playing something else. Whereas now you can play your Thor, you can play something else in your deck that's like that your deck is built around, then you can play your Lady Thor.
Well, before like you can now go Wong, Lady Thor, and turn 6 play Mjolnir and Odin.
Yeah.
So like it actually the combo just becomes way better.
It feels way better.
Whereas before it was like you maybe got Thor to to 12 power and then Odin'd, whereas now you can add Wong to that combo. So I actually think it's like, if you hit the combo, I think it's like super viable now. I actually really like the change, and I might actually try out a Thor deck again.
Yeah, wish I had Wong.
Ah, big sad. I do have Wong and Mystique, actually. We'll see what...
I don't have either.
See what crazy things we can come up with Odin and all those cards. So now we've got a bunch of updates to 5-cost cards. A lot of these are just power changes. So Abomination goes from 5-8 to 5-9. Aero goes from 5-6 to 5-8. So we're giving 2 power to Aero. Black Bolt goes 5-7 to 5-8. So they're just like power changes. Blue Marvel, this is an interesting one because we're going from a 6-4 to a 5-3. So you can now play Blue Marvel a turn earlier. You get one less power, but I think like lowering the cost to play on turn 5 is very significant. Do you think this makes Blue Marvel like... Because Blue Marvel was pretty average. Do you think this makes Blue Marvel good?
I think it makes Blue Marvel significantly better than it used to be.
Yep, like, okay.
Six cost cards should be reserved for, you know, game-changing abilities or game-winning abilities.
Like a win condition, yeah.
Win conditions, and Blue Marvel was just, well, he is just not that. Changing him to a 5-cost card feels better. It doesn't matter about the power reduction. Feels way better having him as a 5-power.
Yeah, I think...
A 5-cost, sorry, definitely.
5-cost, yeah, I definitely think you're right. The only thing this does hurt is my Cerebro deck with him at 4...
I thought about that.
With him at 4-power, he would turn to everything to 5-power, with Cerebro in play, and he would go to 5-power and get, so he would get the Cerebro buff as well. Whereas now at 3-power, he just can't be played in a 3-power Cerebro deck. It's not a big deal. Like, the deck wasn't that good anyway. I think this helps out a lot of other decks that makes it worth it.
agreed.
Another big change. This is probably one of the, it's probably not the biggest change, but I think this impacts a lot of decks. Devil Dinosaur goes from a 4-0 to a 5-3. So, of course, you're getting a big power buff here going from 0 to 3, but the cost now goes to 5. What's your thoughts on Devil Dinosaur now?
I think having... I don't know. The only deck that I was playing Devil Dino in currently was my Mr. Negative deck, and it's absolutely screwed him. In the negative deck, because now I can't draw him as a 0-cost 4-power card.
That's right.
But I think, like you hinted at before, I may just be replacing Devil Dino with Ronin.
Yeah.
Which sounds amazing. But anyway, Devil Dino, I think it's not a bad change. I think because a lot of people were still using him, maybe at the lower ranks as well. I reckon he'd still be being overused because he's such an easy card to use and you get him early on.
For sure.
I think it's probably a good change because he's definitely a strong card.
Yeah, I agree that he's a strong card. I actually don't like this change in... So in a Mr. Negative deck, I understand this nerfs the Mr. Negative archetype as well, which I think is kind of like, it's a good thing. It's a very powerful... That Mr. Negative deck is very powerful. The thing I think this hurts the most is... Like people in pool 2 and stuff that are just like unlocking cards. Devil Dinosaur at 5 just feels bad now because I can't go Devil Dinosaur Iron Man. Whereas now I'm playing this on turn 5. Like say I play Moon Girl for instance. I'm not going to be able to like my turn 5 and 6 is going to be playing the two Devil Dinosaurs. Like I don't. Whereas before you could like Moon Girl turn 4, Devil Dinosaur. Would be your
and Sentinel
and like
on turn
yeah
six,
like turn yeah. six you could play another card with it. I just feel like it probably hurts people in the lower pools than people in pool 3 with pool 3 cards, which I mean kind of feels bad. I think really all this was done for was to nerf the Mr. Negative Dino sort of combo.
But I think that's kind of the point. If he's like I said, if he's being overused in pool 2, like in the earlier ranks, then he should be nerfed because he shouldn't be being used that much. You know, if you're, I remember playing against the Devil Dino in like every second match when you're around like rank 40, 50. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I definitely agree that it was a very powerful card. I think just making it a 5-cost now, I don't know. I guess making like changing the ability would have felt bad as well. So I guess there probably wasn't much they could do. But I guess, it's fine. We'll see how it impacts Devil Dinosaur's use. Next up, we have Gamora. Gamora is now a 5-power 7. Was Gamora always 5-7? I actually am unsure of that. I definitely know the abilities change. It used to be plus 4 power.
I'll check it for you.
Yeah, for sure. You should just bring up the guide. You bring up the visual guide.
That's exactly what I'm doing.
So Gamora's ability is now, if your opponent played a card this turn, it gets plus 5 power. So it's a 5 power, a 5 cost card, but you're getting it to, you can get it to 12 power, which is like, it's better than it was. I think,
So Gamora was a 5-6, and if your opponent played a card here this turn, plus 4 power.
Yeah, so it was only getting to 10. It was at 5 cost?
5 cost,
So
it's 5 cost, 6 power. So it was only getting to 10, like, you're right, and now it's getting to
12. And even if you miss the ability, like, it's still a 7?
It needed a buff.
Oh, for sure.
I don't really know anyone who played Gamora.
Nah, I still don't think it's like an amazing card or anything. It's still like very like gimmicky, but it's definitely a lot better.
Yeah, agreed.
Next up, Claw, personal favorite of mine. It's still a 5 cost 4 power, but its ability now gives the right location plus 6 power instead of plus 5. Good change. If you're doubling this, it's now getting 12 power instead of 10. Like if you're playing Onslaught or things like that. I think Claw was like okay as it was, but like definitely a little bit more strength is great. I'm happy with Claw.
I think it's a welcome change as well. He wasn't being overplayed or overused. I think it's great that he's 6 power. Maybe he'll see a little bit more use as well.
Yeah, for sure. Not too much to say about Claw. Red Skull just went from a 5-14 to a 5-15. I think Red Skull was kind of underplayed, so just a little power buff there.
Yeah.
Yeah, nothing too much about that. Ronan is actually, I think, a really big change. Ronan now goes to a 5 cost card, 0 power still. It used to be 4 cost, I believe.
Yeah, 4 cost, yep. 0 power.
So 5 cost now, but its abilities change from ongoing plus 2 power for each card in your opponent's hand to plus 3 power. So, of course, it's hard to, you know, force your opponent to keep cards in their hand, but plus 3 power is quite good. As we discussed before, I added this to my Mr. Negative deck instead of Devil Dinosaur. And yes, it's not as powerful in terms of I can't force my opponent to have cards in hand, but I guess Baron Mordo now comes into the equation, doesn't he? That forces that forces your opponent sometimes to leave a card in hand, giving you plus 3 power. I think the Ronin change is really good. It wasn't played much. I'm going to have to test it more with Mr. Negative, but I mean, a 0-5 with Mr. Negative M plus 3 power for each card in hand sounds pretty good to me.
I think it's insane. Like, plus 3 power. We don't have a card like that that adds 3 power, you know, for each card that, you know, you or your opponent has. It's just like, what can you get to at a maximum? If you're seven cards,
which is very it's very unlikely because they're generally going to play cards on turn 6. Hypothetically.
Say six cards. That's 18 power.
I think it's
still insane.
I think it's very unlikely that happens, though, unless they're playing like a control deck. And even then, 6 cards in hand at the last turn is very unlikely unless there was a location that forced you to draw cards. I think it's just really good in Mr. Negative. Outside of it, I'm not convinced that it's going to be like amazing. If there was other ways to get cards in your opponent's hand, then sure. But I think in Mr. Negative, it's just really good.
Yeah, agreed.
Time will tell. If it's good outside of it.
I haven't tried him out yet, but I will.
I've seen a lot of people trying it out, so I reckon definitely try out Ronan, guys. See how you go if you've got Ronan unlocked. Spider-Woman just goes from a 4-4 to a 5-7, so costs a little bit more, costs one more, but it's got 3 more power. I actually think this is a really, really positive change. My reasoning is, and I had this discussion on Reddit with someone today, they agreed that as at a 4-4, if you're playing this on turn 4, your opponent's not always going to have a location with 4 cards. Playing this a turn later, you're generally going to play it at a location where your opponent has 4 cards. If you compare them, a 4-power card, and I guess if you're minusing 4 from your opponent, you're essentially getting like a hypothetical 8-power gain. Whereas now you'll be getting a 12 power gain. So you're 11 power.
No, 11
power. So you're getting an 11 power, a hypothetical 11 power gain. So you're going from 8 to 11. So you're getting plus 3 power for costing one more. I think that's a buff.
And like you said, playing it a turn later is probably like an advantage to you because they're going to have a full location. Yeah, it is a buff, I think. Spider-Woman, she saw play.
But
maybe that's because she's a pool two card.
For sure.
I think it's a good change as you explained it. There's nothing wrong with it, and she wasn't OP by any means, so it's great.
Yeah, I don't think it's gonna make make it super broken or anything, but I think it's just makes it a nicer card. Cool. Yeah. So now we go on to some 6-cost cards. Agatha just goes from 613 to a 614, so 14 power, just the extra one there. Not a big change.
Yeah, not a big change.
Hulk goes from 6-cost 11 power to 612, so just again another bump in power by one. I think the Hulk change is kind of good. I think in a Hela it's quite good because you're now getting, like, if you discard Hulk, that's just a free 12 power card.
Free 12 power. It is pretty good.
Whereas I know people were playing things like Death because it was a 12 power card. The problem with that is if you're not discarding a lot, like let's say you're not doing like the full discard thing. Death could end up costing more than 6. So worst case scenario, if you don't draw into Hela, or even like Ghost Rider, for instance, if you don't play those cards, you can just play Hulk on turn 6. Whereas if you have a 7, 8, or 9 power Death in your hand, you just can't play it. So I think this is just like, this can just replace Death in some decks.
Yeah, it's pretty good. And, you know, vanilla cards don't see that much play apart from a potential Patriot deck.
Yeah, like Patriot. Yeah, for sure. So I guess it makes he's better in Patriot. You probably play him in Patriot now.
But I think it's a good change.
Just the little power bump can be really powerful, I reckon. Onslaught goes from a 6-6 to a 6-7. So again, just bumping the power up by one. I think it's fine. Onslaught was already used. He wasn't like super broken or anything. So I think the extra power is fine.
Yeah, I think he could do with the actual extra power buff because his ability is amazing, but 6 power is really not great for a 6-cost card.
Yeah, for sure. And then in a similar vein, Spectrum goes from a 6-4 to a 6-5. So Spectrum it's kind of like, I guess, similar to Onslaught, just Spectrum buffs all the ongoing cards. Onslaught doubles the ongoing. So they're very, like, they're doing a, not a similar thing, but they're very similar cards in that they have a powerful ability, but they have low power. So just bumping up the power a little bit, I guess, makes them a bit more playable.
Yeah, I think it's good. Those power buffs are great. Like you said, it just gives a little bit more power for those cards who have like good abilities, but they just needed something, a little bit something more.
Yeah, for sure. And then the last card change is Ultron. Was a 6-cost 7 power card. It's now 8 power, so you get a little power bump there. And its ability now is it's quite similar. They just changed the wording to, I guess, it's probably up to people to decide if it's a buff or not. On reveal, create 4 1 power drones at each other location. This used to be at each
adjacent
location. That's right. Yeah. So if you played it on the left location, it would only add drones to the middle. Whereas now, no matter where you play it, it will just fill your other locations with the power with the drones.
Yeah, I actually just unlocked Ultron today or yesterday.
So did I.
Yeah, so I haven't used. I didn't get to see what he was like before, but my initial thought is like, you know, what if you get locations where it's -3 cost, you don't want the bots to spawn at that location. So just say that location is on the right. So instead of playing him in the middle, you'd play him on the left. So the right location doesn't get any bots because that'd all be, you know, -2.
So this is my, So that's my thing. I guess it's up to interpretation if this is obviously the power is a buff, but is the ability a buff? I think it is. Do you have Patriot unlocked?
I do have Patriot unlocked, yeah.
So that's perfect because I don't have Patriot. Patriot, Ultron, create the drones. Say you have like Patriot Mystique, your drones will all go to what, like 5 power?
Yeah, 5 power.
So you're playing it.
You could chuck an Onslaught or something as well, which would be great.
You're playing an 8.
And you're playing Ultron. Yeah.
So the thing is, you can play like your other cards that'll get buffed by Patriot, and then you drop Ultron and fill all your locations with 5 power cards. It sounds like it could be good.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I feel like maybe I'm just playing the wrong Patriot deck. I think I made it myself, to be honest. But with those vanilla decks, I feel like I'm always running out of room.
Yeah, I guess.
So like the Ultron is like not a big, having those bots is not a big deal, but I guess that's a completely different deck.
Yeah.
Still a Patriot deck, but a different like angle for the deck.
Yeah, you can have like cards that play less, like more cards that have like, I guess, more higher cost cards that have higher power, and then Ultron like turn six. Maybe see if you can come up with something or like find a deck list and test it out.
Yeah, that'll be cool. I'll try and do that.
That's cool. So that is all the cards. There were so many cards to get through. Some location updates. Adeline is now, they've just reworded it. It says after turn three, shuffle your hand into your deck, draw three cards. I believe it said just on turn four, which kind of confused people because they didn't know if it was at the start of turn four or at the end. And it's quite important to know when this happens. So just a wording change to make it clearer when the ability happens.
Yeah, the clearer the better.
Why yeah, not? I don't think we can complain about that. And the interesting one was the new location, Necrotia, they replaced Clintar with it. So cards here have minus two power. I couldn't imagine why. Maybe just like as a thematic thing, they changed the location. Maybe they have a better idea for Clintar.
Yeah, they've done this before. I can't remember exactly what it was, but they've done this before at a location where I think what happened is they changed the location name to another location, and then that name came out as a future location, which I think, like you're saying, it's probably just thematically sounds better to them. Or
yeah, that's interesting. So I actually looked up what Necrotia is. So it's like a X-Men comic arc. So like the comic was based around Necrotia, and it was like resurrected undead mutants, like this place. Yeah, okay. Yeah, it was like this one dude like resurrected. So I guess like cards you have minus two power, kind of like, I guess that makes sense. It's like undead. I don't know. Maybe it's not so much about Necrotia, and maybe Clintar has a way better like thematic place that they're gonna use in late like later time.
Yeah, what is Clintar? I'm just having a look at it now. It's something about the symbiote. So it's something about something along Venom's Venom and Spider-Man's story.
Yeah, I'm actually not entirely sure what what Clintar is.
Yeah.
But yeah, so let's go into bug fixes. We'll go fly through a lot of these. Cards should be less likely to show up black or blank. This was the issue that everyone's had for the last month, so that's
finally.
That's just a welcome fix. I'm sure if you're playing the game, you've experienced that bug. And then they fixed a bunch of like bug issues where things didn't activate properly. There's some important ones here. Have a look through them. Let's point out some important ones. So players can now retreat if your opponent plays Daredevil on turn five and snaps. I think this is important because in the last patch, they made it so you can retreat if your opponent snaps back. Whereas if your opponent plays Daredevil on turn five and snaps, you couldn't retreat. So the Daredevil seeing what happens would happen, and you couldn't retreat.
Yeah, I didn't really come across this.
It's pretty niche, but
if that wasn't their intention, then it's good that they fixed it.
Yeah, definitely not the intention. So that's fixed. Fix the bug where if you had two Daredevils on your side, the effect would be cancelled.
That is hilarious.
So that's just a good bug fix. But you can use you can double your Daredevils without fear. Wong's ability finally works properly with Onslaught. So before you had to cheat out Onslaught and then play Wong, because if you go Wong and then Onslaught, it would not work.
I don't have Wong, so I literally have no idea what you're talking about.
So it says if Onslaught is played after Wong, it wouldn't actually double. Double it again.
Because Onslaught's ability is double ongoing,
and
Wong's ability is an ongoing ability.
Yes, correct. So that was fully bugged. So now that works properly, so we can actually play those decks.
That's good.
On reveal effects triggered by Odin are now actually doubled at Kamar-Taj. That also was a bug that didn't work.
I realized that wasn't happening.
Yeah, correct. It's kind of just some math numbers things that they've fixed up, and then improved a bunch of animation stuff. Fixed animation issues. They fixed Gamma Lab.
This one's a good one. Yeah, Gamma Lab.
Gamma Lab.
Yeah,
so
we were speaking about that last time.
We spoke about this. We all argued how it was meant to work.
Yeah, and I think it's what you said. It's to what be I said. So I was saying how, like, you know, you play Angela, then you play at Gamma Lab, then you play Akade, she gets a +2 buff, she turns into Hulk, and she still retains that +2 buff.
Yeah.
But now everything that's there, including the tokens that never got the buff, everything just turns into what's Hulk now, a 12-powered Hulk.
Correct. So this is fixed which now. Which is good. So when whatever cards you play there on turn 3, they will just turn into a 12-power Hulk, whereas before, like, 2-power tokens were just turning into 2-power Hulks. Cards that had buffs like Sunspot were keeping the buffs as well as the +11 power. That's what Hulk was initially. So now you just, I played Gamma Lab today. They just turned into 12 power. Works fine. That's how I expected it to run. It was featured location. It was fully broken for the whole time. So, I mean, it just works how it was intended. Good change, good fix.
Yeah, you can't complain with that. As long as they're getting everything to work how they want them to work, then
that's
good.
Right. Everything else just seems to be visual effects and audio effects. This is an interesting one. I noticed this issue. Let me know if you noticed this. The opponent's card in the top right of the right location, you had to tap like right in the corner of it to
right
open
at
the card.
At the lower part. The
lower left of the card.
100% I realized this.
I noticed this like the first day and I was like, thought it was broken, and then I realized it happened every game. So I guess they've obviously just moved the box.
It?
Yeah.
They've
fixed that. So you can, it'll be easier to look at that card now, which is good. And then obviously they've changed the things like, you would have noticed the cubes, like the main cube in the middle is a little bit smaller. The avatars are a little bit smaller. Some text changes here and there. So a bunch of simple things. And then we've got here general fixes. TVA no longer prevents missions from being completed. I know this, things could bug out when TVA was in the game.
Yeah, that's because they changed something at one point where if you retreated before turn 5 or turn 4.
I think it was
4,
turn 3.
It didn't go towards the missions, and something similar was happening when TVA was in play.
TVA, that's right. Also, players will now get credit for the win matches with a snap when their opponent snaps. So if you both snapped, it wasn't actually completing that it wasn't completing that quest, that mission.
Yeah.
So that's also been fixed. And I think that is everything. That was a absolute ton to get through. I did mention it during the week that it was a massive patch. So it was going to be a lot to get through.
They're clearly just getting ready for global launch. So it's a huge patch, which is, it's good to see. They're getting ready for the launch.
So
great.
That was my next question. Is this the last major patch before global launch on October 18th?
October 18th, today's 27th, still got, 3 weeks? I don't think it's the last patch.
Okay, yep.
I think, I reckon there may be a patch, say, half a week before global launch, but I think it'll be a really small patch, maybe just polishing some final things or some things from this patch that they've realized have bugged out or whatever. I don't think it's going to be a big patch at all.
For sure. So no card changes?
I don't think there'll be any card changes unless something's
they have to fix something.
Like broken. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, cool. So yeah, I reckon I probably agree with that. Now before we finish up, that's already quite a long episode. We'll go through this quickly, but what theme do you think? So the new season's dropping. It should drop just before our next episode, so we'll be able to discuss the new season next week. What theme do you think it will be?
Yeah, well, I haven't heard
anything.
I haven't heard anything from anyone. Just trying to think. I have no idea. Do you have any ideas?
I don't. If I had to choose a theme, I mean, what have we had so far? We had Wave as a card. We had Thor. We had Heroes for Hire, which was Daredevil. And now we have Sword and Shield, which is like, I guess, Nick Fury. So we've had Shield. We've had Daredevil. I mean, She-Hulk makes sense with the show right now. People keep saying She-Hulk. It does make sense. I don't think it will be. It really does make sense. Let's say I'm going to say it's going to be I'm trying to think of unreleased cards that it could be. I've made YouTube video. I've done my of all the data mined cards. I'm trying to think what's in there that
I think regardless, I have no idea what it's going to be, but I think regardless of what it is, Nick Fury was kind of a letdown of a card. Think for the next season, they have to bring out something that is incredibly hype that everyone's going to love. Otherwise, like, two letdowns in a row will just hurt really bad for the community.
Which is exactly what I was going to lead into. But I will say for the theme, I was going to lead into, if we get two bad cards in a row, is that like, is that just going to kill season passes for people? But
Do you reckon? I think it'll stop. Like, it'll make people question buying the season pass because they think back to the season that we just had, and they're like, "Wow, I bought the season pass, and Nick Fury was basically a flop." And now, if they see another bad card, then they're gonna think this is gonna be the same season all over again, where the season pass is not worth the money that I paid. I'm not saying that it wasn't worth the money, but it could be.
It wasn't the best card, let's say. Theme that I'm going to guess, I'm going to say She-Hulk, I guess, just because of the show, or maybe, I'm just trying to think of the data mine cards that I've been through. Theme. Yeah, I don't
I'm
know.
Gonna say, I'm going with She-Hulk. Something different. I'm going to go Mephisto because that was an awesome card.
Okay. Yeah. That was a cool card. I guess, you could do a lot with that as well. We got people in the chat that have said Deadpool, a Deadpool theme. I mean, we already have a Deadpool card. That's the thing. I think the theme so far has been like a new card. But I mean, I guess they could always, release other cards around that theme.
You know what? I'm gonna stick by Mephisto. I think coming with the global launch coming up soon.
Okay.
I think they'll want a card that changes the way that you play. That is like a one-of-a-kind card that changes the way you play.
And for those that don't know, the card, basically the ability is if you win that location, if you win that game, you double your winnings.
Yeah, and it was a 5-0 or a 6-0, I remember thinking this is going to go great in a Mr. Negative deck.
Yeah, so you're only playing that card if you like you're only playing that. It's like a win more card. Like, you're already winning. It's not even a win more card.
It's not a win more
card. You're already winning, and it's like betting. It's like betting. Yeah, it's weird.
It's doubling down.
It's doubling down, but you're essentially spending your energy to double down. Like, you're spending your five energy to double down because they're going to be playing cards on with their five energy, and you're essentially not. Although I guess Mr. Negative could do some shifty things. I don't think it will be something like that because new people are joining the game. If you give them a broken card like that, they're going to be like, "Whoa, this is like game break. This is like full game changer." But I guess I could see it. Okay, so we've got a Mephisto theme. I'm going with a She-Hulk theme because I literally can't think of anything else. Yes, we think two bad cards in a row in the season pass would be pretty bad for the game's, like, the season pass's health, I guess. Yeah.
And so people will just, definitely kind of turn their nose up at season passes after two in a row.
Yeah, so hopefully
especially since the game hasn't came out yet, like, because it's still in the beta, you're thinking like, wow, they've got all these, all these data mine cards, all these cool ideas, all these cool themes, these cool things that they could do, and they're bringing out like these cards that no one's going to use. It just feels bad.
For sure. So if you've got like, if you're like max, you've maxed out your collection level, or not maxed it out, but you've got all the cards, and then you get a new season pass and it's a bad card, like 2 months in a row, I feel like that would just feel terrible. So hopefully it's a really good card, not even a really good card, just a card we can make decks and I guess do some new things with. Because Nick Fury so far without any new cards kind of sucked. All right, guys, we got through a ton of stuff in, I guess, a reasonable amount of time. But before we finish up, we have to play everybody's favorite game, Snap Who. The scores right now, we'll go quickly through the rules of the game. Justin today is going to give me a name, an ability on a card. I'm then going to guess the name of the card, the energy cost, and the power. So I can get a maximum of 3 points, 1 point for each that you get right. Currently the scores are Tom is on 7 points. I am on 5 points. Justin is on 4 points. So Justin, next week, hopefully you can try and tie it up, I guess.
How many plays have we had? Tom and Tom's on one extra, is that right?
Yeah, correct. So we've both had two attempts. Yeah. Tom has played three times. So I guess I could equal Tom today. No, I could get in front of Tom today.
You could get in front of Tom.
Whereas you would be playing, playing a little bit of catch up there if I can get the 3 points today. So let's see how we go. Justin, take it away.
I'm super nervous. Excited for this one. I have yet to ask someone to guess a card.
Oh, cool.
All right. So the ability is, on reveal, If this is at the middle location, shuffle your hand into your deck and draw three cards.
No. No, no, no. I'm sure I have this card. And there's two cards. Sorry, say it again. Could you read it again?
On reveal,
yep.
If this is at the middle location,
yep.
Shuffle your hand into your deck yep. and draw three cards.
Okay, so I was tossing up between two cards, but I just thought about it. Quake is the one where the location swap, so it's not that. I'm going to say that it's Crystal. I couldn't even tell
what
you.
What about the power yeah. or the cost?
Yeah, I got no idea.
Neither confirming nor denying Crystal.
Yes, can't yes, say. That's fine. So I'm going to go Crystal because it's the only like not really played card that I can think of that does that. Like I think it does that. And then, oh man, it's got to be... Sorry, could you read the ability again? Last
on
time.
On reveal. All right, last time. On reveal. If this is at the middle location... Shuffle your hand into your deck and draw three cards.
Okay, so it doesn't make any sense to play this really late because like you'd have to be playing it by like turn four, three or four. It doesn't really get played because I think it's just a bad ability. So I'm going to say it is a three energy cost card, and I'm going to say that it is, oh, if it's a three energy cost, it can't be more than like, I'm going to say it's a three cost and it's four power. I got no idea though. That's final answer.
All right, so you're locking in Crystal for a three cost, four power.
Oh, I'm just thinking three cost cards. I feel like the ability is so bad that it should be higher. I'm just trying to think of other three cost cards. Like other three cost cards probably have four power. It has to be more. All right, I'm going to go three cost card. No, I'm going to go three cost, four power. I have to stick with it.
Sticking with it.
Yep.
Crystal, correct.
Yes, 1 point. Good. The rest is wrong, isn't it?
Four power. Correct.
Yes. Four cost.
Three cost. Incorrect. Four cost. So you got two out of three there.
So close.
You were very close. You were considering it, but it's a pretty good effort.
I actually
Crystal is a card that I have as well, but
literally
I was looking through a list of cards and like had no idea what she did, so I thought I'd give it a go.
Damn.
But you did pretty good actually.
I'm actually pretty happy with that. People in the Twitch chat saying the answer. Yeah, you probably looked it up, you cheats. Yeah, I was just thinking like a four. So it is four cost. This is such a terrible card because
it
like,
is a horrible card.
So I was thinking in my head like it has to be turn three because turn four that just sounds like a bad card. But then I thought, okay, it can't be a super high power because or else everyone would be playing it. Four. That's just awful. So someone in the Twitch chat, our good friend Drugor, reckons that he guessed it. He reckons he didn't cheat. So well done, Drugor. Everyone
stuff.
At home, if you got it, congratulations. You are. The Snap-Who champion for this week. So that puts me on equal with Tom on 7. That sucks. I could have got ahead.
So we are saying that if I get 3 points next week, we're all equal.
We're all equal, which would be pretty insane. Guys, that is Snap-Who, everyone's favorite. You know what? I'm going to go out on a limb here and say it's the only weekly Marvel Snap quiz that exists right now. Can I say that? I don't think I can confirm that, but have you seen I've seen Marvel Snap quiz like websites, but like, is it a weekly quiz? I don't know.
Not a weekly quiz. I guess as far as we know, yeah, you're correct.
So that, guys, you heard it here, locked it in. That is, we are currently the only, no, I've got no idea, but we're going to stick with it. We're going to stick with our guns like I did with Crystal. And I guess I got it wrong. So maybe we shouldn't do that. All right, Justin, thank you for joining us this week. Ton of fun. Unfortunately, it was sad Tom couldn't be here this week, but I mean, we had so much to talk about. I feel like this episode would have been like 4 hours if we were all
weighing in. It would have gone on for so long if there was three of us, it was great to chat about the patch. It was really good.
Yeah, it was good. It's good to, I guess it helps you get your head around the changes and like what's viable, what's like, you know, maybe worth testing out. Guys, thanks so much for watching. If you're watching the podcast live, you guys here on Twitch, thank you so much for joining us. If you're listening to the podcast on your favorite podcasting platform, we thank you. Thank you so much. Guys, the official Twitter is live at Infinite Snap Pod. If you use Twitter, go there. We're posting deck lists, posting news, things like that, when the podcast is dropping, things like that. So go and do that. We'd really appreciate it. If you haven't already, if you want to watch like the podcast, you know, a lot of people are on the other side of the world. We're here in Australia, so a lot of people are sleeping when we're doing the podcast live. So if you would like to watch it, you can watch it on the YouTube channel. So it's on my YouTube channel at ShadowDTV. There's a bunch of other Marvel Snap content on there, so go and subscribe there as well. That's it for this week. Hopefully Tom can join us next week. But Justin, it's always great to have you here.
Thank you. I'll be back next week, hopefully. I'm keen to talk some more about Marvel Snap as we get closer to global launch.
For sure. Very excited for that. Any last words, Justin?
Not really. I'm keen to check out some of your YouTube videos because I've been a bit slack lately. I'm a little bit behind.
This guy's always plugging my YouTube, man. I almost completely avoid it, and then you just plug it. But no, thank
good.
You, thank you, thank
you.
You
gotta plug it.
Yeah, selfish, the shameless plug. I let Justin do the shameless plug for me.
Yeah, that's it.
Guys, thank you so much for joining us. We're going to do the post show now. So if you come for the live stream, we do a post show where we just hang out and chat for a bit. Guys, thanks so much for watching. We'll catch you, or watching and or listening. We'll catch you in the next episode. We should have a new patch. We should have a new season pass to talk about, which is going to be fun.
That'll be really good. Good to talk about. See what happens.
Sounds good. See you, Justin. I'll catch you next week.
See ya. See you guys.
See you guys.